Someone
Grace
told me
Bible Church is dedicated to the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, helping you get more out of your Bible. Grace Bible Church is located at 20 Cecil Lane, right behind the Arby's on Atlanta Highway. Call 888-7-CHRIST for service times and other materials. And now, your Bible teacher, Brother Hampton.
Hey, welcome to the Bible study. Appreciate you joining us all along the fruited plains of America and internationally bound. You know, we get emails from Africa that's watched our program. We get emails from New Zealand, Canada, Turkey. Weird. Weird. Very exciting. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be anywhere. Actually, I'm feeling kind of froggy this morning. Someone said, you kind of look down. Deborah says, smile a little bit. I was actually in the mood, but I was thinking about what I was going to preach. But so I can't look serious. You know, that's why preachers have those little rooms off the edges, and they don't come in until it's time, so they can look weird and think about their verses. It's kind of, they do that at funerals. I just did Mrs. Holloway's funeral down in Mariana, the memorial up here, but it was kind of funny. He says, Pastor, do you need a private place? Yes, please, I'd like a private place with none of these people. I don't even like them. You know? We appreciate you joining us. We appreciate y'all coming live and being part of the study. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have a TriCaster here.
By the way, Ms. Holloway's sermon, that Wednesday night service,
is on the web.
Well, and the Sunday before where you did that with the coat and tie and looked real sharp.
Everybody got mad at
both me. Both sermons are put together as one, and it's called The Plan, and it's also up on the internet, too.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. You know, I appreciate everybody joining us. Today will be a unique day because I'm feeling froggy. And we never know what we're going to get on froggy days. But I don't plan a sermon for you guys. I just study the Word of God for me and then let it rip what I'm thinking on. So anyway, I want you to turn to John chapter 1. And I want to talk to you about the Word of God. It has become so obvious to me how Satan is loving all these different versions of the Bible. In fact, Tony bought me another Cambridge, and he says, you better get it while the getting's good. There ain't no more out there. And I understand that. And anyway, in John chapter 1, you know, the most important thing to our faith is the Bible. And if Satan could destroy the foundation, that's exactly what he would do. And, you know, I don't know very many churches in the Montgomery area. In fact, I would say very few that believe the inerrant, infallible Word of God is the King James Bible. Now, guys, I don't think it's the best translation. Now, listen to me very carefully. I do not believe it is the best wording we can get, and on and on. I believe the King James Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. I believe there's no other Bible. I don't believe the NIV is a Bible. I don't believe the SAV, the New American Standard, NAS, any of those are the Bible. I believe the King James Bible is the infallible Word of God. Now, let me tell you, there are very few churches. Mike over at Cornerstone at one time said, well, we believe the King James. Come to find out, he believed it was the best translation. See, I don't think this is the best translation. I believe it is the unique, infallible Word of God. And that differs us from most of the churches out there. And so, why? I believe in a actual preserved word. Go to Psalms. Go to Psalms 12. I said John, but go to Psalms. I can change my mind. It's a froggy day. Anything can happen. I would get this recorded if you wanted it. In Psalms 12, the Bible says this in verse 6. The word of the Lord, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve. That's what we're talking about. I believe the preservation is the King James Bible. I believe God planned the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible was in the mind of God. You say, what are you talking about? I think the Hebrew and the Greek, that's the Word of God. Well, you know, it's funny because God did some incredible things in this Bible. But first, I want you to see in John 1. Go back to John 1. Now, I believe it's a math equation. And I've taught this for years and years. I believe there's an equality between the Word and God. And it says in John 1, verse 1, very clearly, I mean, get your notepapers out, boys and girls. You're going to want to write these down, check them out, score them, highlight them, do whatever you can with them, but write them down. Write them down. You will need this. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? That means this. If the Word is God, it's equal with God. Amen? That's a math equation. Not hard. Then we've got to know and be able to deliver. Can I take this coat off? I can't stand it. Hot. Get me a fan. Get me a fan, I may keep it on. Wade, fan, I'll keep it on or try. Best I can. But when it's hot in the wintertime, won't be a problem. Whew. And the Word was God. What? All right, come stand over here and fan me. I prefer women in bikinis and belly dancing stuff with the fans. But we'll take the pianist in a full long blue dress too. That idea that it's a math equation is very, very important. If anything's added to the Word, it would have to be added to God. It's a balance sheet. That's all it is. The Word is God. In fact, look in 1 John. Verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the what? The Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? They're equal. The Word of God is equal to God. The Word of God is the same as God. It is who God is. The Word is all that matters. People want to throw other translations out and do this and do that. The problem is you don't end up with the same doctrinal truth as the Word of God lined up. And it's the difference is the King James Bible. Folks, you want to know the authority? The authority has never been me or my ability to preach or speak. The authority in this room and in this house and in this place and in your house is the King James Bible. That's the authority. That's the thing you got to remember. That's the thing you got to believe. And you know what? It doesn't matter about what I speak, because you know what? I'm an idiot sometimes and say things that aren't right or that are not true. But the King James Bible is true and preserved and is, in fact, God.
Amen.
The only way I know God is by a King James Bible. Say, well, I think I heard it from the NIV. Probably not. In fact, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me today. Just hang tight a minute. My side is ripping. What? Yeah. The thing is that being that the Word is God, and that the equality between God and John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word
was God.
That combination and 1 John 5 put together, then there's something else that we need to look at. Look, if you will, in Deuteronomy 4. If you can't find Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book in the Bible. Comes after Numbers. And go to Deuteronomy 4. At least you get a chance to mark up all your Bible. I get accused all the time on Facebook, up in the Kentucky blogs, that I don't believe the whole Bible. And I'm like, those people are idiots. They get mad because I call them idiots. You know, they won't come hear me preach. They won't. They just make things up. And guys, listen, let me tell you what. I'm okay to be in judge. But you want to hear what a man believes? Show up at his pulpit and let him preach a little while. He said in Deuteronomy 4, look if you will in verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God your Father giveth you. And by the way, that's another proof by the kingdom that they're going to get the what? The land. Now here's the verse. Verse 2. You shall not add unto the words which I've commanded you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I've commanded you. He tells you not to add or diminish. That is, basically what he's telling you to do is not to add or subtract. You got it? Don't add aught to it. Don't diminish it. That's add or minus anything from it, right? That's very, very clear if you believe your Bible. Well, look, if you will, in Proverbs 30, that's in the middle of the Bible. Proverbs 30, verse 5. That repeat was by Miss Hampton, but my hap on that was that she didn't give me a lot of sleep this weekend, or this week. I'm not used to seeing her all month long. Been kind of interesting. I'm used to actually getting sleep while I'm on the road and coming home and not sleeping. She was the only one who thought that was funny. It was a joke. If she laughs, it's okay. If it was serious, she would have been looking at me really bad with eyes. And in Proverbs 30, verse 5, the word says this. Every word of God is what? Pure. He is a shield, and notice he... What is the he? What's the he? The Word. As in 1 John 5, verse 7 is what I would put right in my Bible right there. I mean, if I wanted to be a Bible student, wanted to be smart, wanted to show people how brilliant I was. 5, verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7 right there. And he says... verse 6, add thou not unto his words. You know what I'd put there? Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Well, verse 2, yeah. I always read it down from verse 1. But yes, verse 2 is the actual verse. And I'd put Revelation 22, 18, which is where I'm turning next. Turn to Revelation 22. I mean, it is so clear to me that God doesn't want you to fool with the book. You know what He wants from us? Believe it. He wants you to believe the book. He wants you to be a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. People say, you know, those people up north are being called Berry followers. Well, I hope that's not true. Hope you're not Berry followers. I hope you're a King James Bible follower. I hope you're a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. I don't want you to be, you know, people want to make you into all kinds of things. We got a thing from the Methodist Church here. I guess I was in the Methodist. They found out I was here and sent me a brochure or something. How to Methodize you. I don't want to Methodize you. I don't want you to be a grace believer. I want you to be a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. That's all I want from you. Say, do you want my money? Well, haven't passed the plate yet, but might have to. That's a joke. Well, how many churches you ever gone to that doesn't pass the plate, brother? None. I mean, I don't want your money. I want you to become a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. I want you to believe the Bible as it's written. That's the problem with people today. Proverbs 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, and on and on. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God, and see, people say, well, that's Revelations. Well, it's already said it in Deuteronomy, already said it in Proverbs, and now it's saying at the end, even if it's just in reference to the book of Revelation, hello, do you think God wants you to add or take away from the word? No. And so this formula, He doesn't want. All He wants you to do is add believing. That's all He wants. He wants you to believe it. That's what honors God, when you believe that book. So I don't understand it all. God never told me or you to understand the entire Bible. God told us to believe His Word. You know what faith comes by? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so what does Satan do? Satan is a master English teacher. And the best way to communicate something is sometimes by not saying or saying and changing it just a little bit. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Happened in the beginning, and He's doing all the time. In Genesis chapter 2, God said this, verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, colon. What does that mean? Yeah, something important about that truth is about to follow. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. And so, go to Genesis chapter 3 where the fall of man takes place. You know who's there, don't you? Satan. And you know what he's using to confuse people into utter confusion? He's using God's own word, but he's doing what? Changing it.
He's using the NIV.
And let me tell you, people say, well, it doesn't make a difference. I'm going to show you that it does. And I'm going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord willing, that it, it does make a difference. And my thing is that God is not the author of confusion, according to 2 Corinthians. You know, so 1 Corinthians 14:34. God is not the author of confusion. He's not trying to get you all fixed up and confused. That's not it. He's trying to straighten out the confusion. That's the whole thing. He's trying to lay out the confusion. And people say, well, it doesn't really make a difference. Well, look what it did in the garden. It cost man his soul. Now, the serpent, verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, notice what he left out. Everything that was from the colon forward. Now, it sounded right because that first part was pretty right. But that colon there in Genesis chapter 2, but thou shalt not eat of the tree of, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. You got it? He just leaves out the colon. And the stuff after it. Because, you know, that is a true statement. They could eat. Let me ask a question. Could they have eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a true statement. They could eat of every tree. But if you eat of this one tree, you shall what?
Die.
You know, all right, so truth. Could they eat of every tree of the garden?
Yes.
Yes. Could they eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Yes.
We know they did, so yes, absolutely. They could eat of every tree. It wasn't going to kill them in the sense that it was poison. But the day they ate thereof, they fell. And all he did was leave out the second part of the truth. And that's how people preach today. They tell one part of the truth, but they don't tell the whole truth. And you see that with baptism and other subjects and things like that as well. So, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees, eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest she die. Did she know her Bible well?
No.
And whose fault was that, by the way? Adam's. He should have washed his wife with the word. People say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Here, gentlemen, let me give you a hint. Take your wives and bathe them in the word. You don't think you're going to be judged on that? When was the last time you sat down and showed your wife doctrine in the house? Say, oh, yeah, you showed her how to do barbecue sauce. That's Jim Bordeaux. I was giving him a little pun since he owns more barbecue sauce than anyone in the room, I think. Fishing doesn't do it. I don't even think going down the river on a raft would probably do it. When was the last time, gentlemen, that you sat down with your wives and washed her with the word? That's fascinating, isn't it? Now think about that. Because she got it wrong because she didn't hear it over and over again. You know what? Brenda and I try to memorize Scripture together and read Scripture together and do that. And my goal is to make sure she doesn't get it wrong. You know? The realization. Hey, welcome. We're in Genesis chapter 3. Just come on in. So there was a woman, and the husband is really in the scene too. And this is why we're in sin. Verse 3. God never said about touching it. Ever. You all understand? And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, casting doubt on God's word. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of it, took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband. You know what her husband should have said? I can't eat this. And guys, you know what I equate this to? And don't get mad at me, okay? Women, please don't get mad at me. Oh, promise me. This is not putting down women or anything. But in the Word of God, women have drawn men away from God a long time. The Gentile women in Nehemiah, he ended up having to throw all those strange women out so that the men would concentrate on the Word of God and the things of God. And I thank God I had a wife that drew me to the Word of God. But there's some that will draw you away, keep you from it, keep you from listening and preaching, and then there's some that try to pull you toward it. Let me tell you what, women are a huge influence. Men are like, wherever she's going, I'm going. Oh, she's so beautiful, I can't live without her. I'm just going to go to hell. You know, I mean, it's almost that kind of thing. And he should have said, no, I cannot eat of it. God said no. But then that would have started an argument at home. Amen. But honey, do what? Yeah, amen. It would have saved us. But by one man, sin entered the world. See, he wasn't confused what God said. He understood the Word of God and disobeyed it openly. You got it? So, right there, Satan always plays with the Word of God. Amen? Always. And he's been doing it ever since. In fact, I'm amazed at people who get all bent out of shape. Look what I'm talking about. Would you believe a King James Bible if it lied? If you found a lie in your Bible, would you keep believing it? Well, look in Mark. I wish someone had something other than the King James Bible here. It'd make it a whole lot more fun. Over near... All right, grab an NIV. Huh? Maybe. We're looking now in our dwindling library. People keep stealing books. Bring them back. Well, I don't know. Why don't you get up and find it if you saw it? Well, the pointing doesn't really seem to help. I've seen that nobody found the pointing. Does anybody find the Bible laying on the chair? Is that an NIV? All right, there. That's all we need. Watch this. What? Are you using it?
Yes.
We're going to have to get you another Bible. All right, but hang on. That's good. I'm glad you got... No. It's perfect. If you didn't have this, we don't need... Wayne, you can come back in. We got one. Just turn the mic up. I want you to read Mark chapter 1, verse 2. I've got it. Well, that's what I was trying to get you to do. I don't know you were
Mark
like...
Mark 1, 6.
Mark 1, verse 2.
2.
Then, read loud so they can hear you on the internet.
As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send a messenger before your face who will prepare you the way.
All right. Now, it clearly stated, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah. Right? I will give you $1,000 if you can find that in Isaiah. Behold, I send my messenger. I'll give you... It said it was written there. Amen? And if it wasn't written there, that would be a... And who's the father of lies? Yeah. You got it. It's actually written in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And so the King James Bible is the only Bible that makes this distinction, as it is written in the prophets. You know why? There's two prophets, Malachi and Isaiah. Don't you think God would know where it is? So who wrote that? Somebody wrote that didn't know. Because it is very clearly, listen, my job up here, guys, ladies and gentlemen, is really a simple job. It's to get you to believe the Bible. But how can you believe a Bible that tells you it's written in Isaiah? And so you spend your life searching Isaiah. Isaiah 1, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 3, all the way to Isaiah 66, and you don't find that. You're going to say, there's something wrong with this Bible. Now that would bother me. Muy poquito. It bothered me a little. Wouldn't it bother you?
Amen.
Now, we're a hip church. I speak in tongues. Christy called and I spoke Indian. How? She thought that was not as funny as I thought it was. You all understand? That's exactly what happened in the garden. Didn't really tell the truth of the verse. Because see, after that colon and that next message, you'd have got it. You'll never find it in Isaiah. Thus, a dilemma is born. Someone added or changed. But didn't he tell them not to do that? That's fascinating to me. So who would have done that if God said, from this generation I'll preserve my word? If he didn't, he's a liar. And you know what the Bible says in Numbers 23? God's not a man that he should lie. God's not a man that he should lie. So if there's a lie in the Bible, we have to add the lie. Then there's got to be a lie in God. And that in itself would implode the entire universe if that was true. How can you trust a God that would lie? Now, it's not written in Isaiah, it's written in Malachi. 3:1. It's in the reference. But it doesn't say it in the Scriptures. That's weird, isn't it? You know why they have to put it in the center column reference as Malachi 3:1? Because that's where it's at. You couldn't make a reference back to Isaiah, so there wouldn't have been any reason. The third verse that says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, now that's in Isaiah 40, verse 3. That is in Isaiah. And so I heard a theologian... with a scratchy voice. The reason that the manuscript said Isaiah is they always take the primary prophet and put them in the lead role of understanding of all verses. And I'm like, you are so full of crap. Huh? I'm not telling who it is. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, the guy was just blowing smoke. Because you know what? It didn't say it in Isaiah. It said it in Malachi. Therefore, the only truth is right is prophets. Which is the King James Bible. Fascinating, huh? Go to Matthew. I've been wanting to teach this verse a long time. But I want you to read it first. Matthew 18, verse 11. 10, 11, 12. Read me 11.
Verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost.
Oh, that's funny. They don't believe it should be there. It's actually out of most NIVs. It is out of 99. Some publisher put it back in because it was missing. Is it in brackets? Yeah. Very good. Thank you. They don't believe the verse should be there. That's kind of an important verse, isn't it? Just leave that one out. And what they do that is so deceptive is they normally go from 10 to 12. Now, as far as I've learned to count, there's an 11 in there somewhere, and they just leave that completely out. You know? That's a problem. Go, if you will, to Luke. Luke, I am your father. Go to Luke. I hope you guys got your pens out. All right, read me Luke 2:33. Read it out loud.
2:33.
Luke 2:33.
And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about him.
His father and his mother. Let me read you the King James. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things. Now, why did the King James say Joseph? Who's the father of Jesus Christ?
God.
What did the NIV make it?
His father.
Which does away with what?
The deity of Christ.
His father and his mother? Well, fathers and mothers have babies all the time. But the King James says Joseph and his mother, showing the true deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose father is who? God. Isn't that fascinating? Does that not fascinate you? Now, why would that book take away from the deity of the Lord?
It makes him non-virgin.
Makes him non-virgin, and then all of a sudden he's just like us. See, people say it doesn't matter. Well, I think it does matter. I think it matters to your faith. I think it makes some... I go into Bible bookstores and I'm looking at Bibles, you know, and a great place to witness. And I had a lady getting there and I said, I'm trying to find a Bible for my kid. And I said, well, get him King James. She said, oh, that's so hard to read. I said, really? Let me try to witness to you out of the King James. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. I said, ma'am, is that hard to understand? She said, no, that's perfectly clear. I said, just in a few more verses down, it says, there's none good, no, not one. She said, really, it says that? I said, yeah, I'm not any good. Are you any good? She said, well, I try to be good. I said, didn't it say try? It said there's none good, no, not one. In fact, in the middle of the book, in Ecclesiastes 7, it says there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says all have sinned. Well, that's not hard to understand. The King James is really hard to understand. Christ died for your sins. Hard to understand? It's not hard to understand. But so they use that as an excuse to keep going and to moving on. And then they start saying, well, is Joseph the father of Jesus or is God? And as soon as those doubts start coming in, Satan has won. Satan has gotcha. You got it? So let's try another one. Galatians chapter 2. Now this one is a biggie to me. Galatians chapter 2. Well, it's a good eye-opener, isn't it? We'll get you a King James Bible. You don't have any worry. And she is working on her doctorate. She's going to be a PhD. So I know she can understand it even when I can't. I praise God that she's that smart.
I grew up with King James.
I knew you did.
King James as a
child. Probably still quote King James. You can't hardly quote an NIV. It's really weird. No, it is. But aren't you glad now you can see some of the difference? And write them down. I mean, we've got a pamphlet back there, and it's on our website, by the way. 200 omissions out of the King James Bible. And they're changing big deal stuff. I like this one. This is, to me, one of the biggest deals. Well, Mark, the fact that they lie is one thing. You know, that bothers me a little. But this one grabs my goat. And I'm not a goat grabber necessarily, but this one does grab my goat. 2 verse 16. Go ahead and read it to us.
2:16.
Yes. Galatians 2:16.
Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not crucified by the works of the law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ, even...
Read it again.
Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ.
And Jesus Christ. You read that. You actually quoted a King James Bible. And the King James says, of. Faith. Sorry about that. In Christ. Oh. Are those the same or different? Whose faith is up here?
Mine.
Whose faith is that?
Christ.
The faith of Christ, His faith. Now, one says you're justified. The word justified is about salvation. So you're justified. So we're talking about what really saves a person. You got it? One Bible is saying your faith in Christ saves you, and the other one says the faith of Christ saves you. That's a huge difference. Huge. You know how big it is? It's the difference of your eternal salvation. Man, I'm telling you, it's life and death. And go ahead and read the whole thing and listen to how it muddles up because it double backs on itself when it talks about their faith in Christ. Go ahead and read yours completely out. But read every word carefully because you're quoting a King James when you're reading your NIV.
And from 17 through 29?
No, 16.
16.
The whole verse.
Through 21?
No, just 16.
Okay. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by the faith in Christ and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Okay, well, the faith of Christ is the faith that He went to the cross believing God the Father would raise Him from the dead. And so He willingly went to the cross by faith, by believing the Word of God. And God had to raise Him by faith. And that faith isn't yours. It's the faith of Christ. And you know what? Whether your faith is solid or not, His faith was, and it was proved by the resurrection of the dead. You got it? That's the proof. He did raise from the dead. Therefore, you don't ever have to worry about being justified. Why? It's already done, guys. He already believed God, went down into hell, tasted death for every man, and then came out of the grave, what? Victorious. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You got it? I mean, that's what we're talking about. Well, you're not justified by your faith. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change the fact of what Christ already did. It's done. Say, well, I want to do more. Well, do all your little heart wants to. It ain't going to add to your little data boys because you're really taking away from your data boys when you're trying to do good when God has said, I've done it all. You know what gets him, God, you know, going? You want to get God going? You just relax in the sun. God's impressed with that. God's impressed with that. Man, the King James Bible is the only thing to believe. I mean, I could literally spend 4 or 5 days going through all this stuff. And then I could get into the manuscript stuff. It all says the same thing. That there is really one book. And you know what my job as a preacher is? Get you to believe it. Believe the book. Do I understand everything in the book? No. Are there verses that are confusing to me? Absolutely. Doesn't change the fact that I believe them. Say, well, you don't understand it all. Yep. Amen, I don't. But I believe it all. And I believe it's the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So I'll take a break and eat some muffins.